Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
Series called Unstuck. And our goal is discovering how to move past the past, right? How many of us have a past? I think all of us have one, right? I mean, even a pastor has a past, right? And sometimes those pasts aren't like all that, you know, angelic. It's a little sketchy sometimes, where at one point my wife did say to me, you know what, if I met you in high school, I probably would have not have dated you or got married to you. So I'm right there with you if you got a past, but we're trying to move past the past, right, with God's help. Not just, you know, trying to come up with some ways to figure it out in our own mind, in our own flesh and all those things, but we're really trying to figure out, okay, God, how are you wanting to help us move past these things that, man, we've experienced so that we could have true healing, right? Because God is a God who's into healing. He really is. He believes that, you know what, we can live lives that are full of healing from the inside to the outside. And so, we want to be able to kind of, we've been trying to target that over the last several weeks. And I know for all of us today, you know, we've experienced relationships. We've experienced circumstances or problems or things like that that have not probably gone well or gone the way we thought they would go or things that would happen, these situations. And really, the sad part about it, because it's kind of reality, is that not one of us escapes life without having to go through some degree of hurt or some degree of pain from other people or other circumstances. And it's in those moments where, you know what, one, we kind of get scars, but also at the same time, a lot of times we carry open wounds with us that we don't even know we have until something happens and they pop up. Where all of a sudden we just kind of get this like, why do I feel this? Oh man, I am so mad right now because this happened or whatever. But sometimes a lot of it kind of begins back when in our past, in those things that we've encountered. And so we want to be able to try to just move past that, because you know sometimes what they do is they create behavioral problems, or they create kind of this emotional situations in our whole life that then create unhealthy patterns in our life. I mean, have you ever experienced something to where you're like, why do I keep doing that when I know it's not right? Like, why do I keep eating McDonald's when I know it's gross, right? Or whatever. I mean, if you like McDonald's, it's all good, right? It's all good. But you know, what was that? There was some documentary about some guy who ate McDonald's straight for, I don't know, a long time, and what it did to his body and just all that stuff. But you get it. There's just certain things in our life sometimes when we don't really realize, why is it that I keep doing the things that I'm doing when I know I don't want to do them? Or I've even found out in scripture that it's wrong. Yet, I lean that way. I kind of just kind of move that way. And so what we've been calling it is, and when we look at it, we think, man, why am I stuck? Why did I just get stuck? I can't seem to move past those things. And so we want to be able to kind of just unplug that and take a look at that and all those things. But the really great thing about it is this. God doesn't want you stuck. He doesn't want you stuck. That's not his heart. See, sometimes we might view God in a way that would be that he's very harsh, very maybe a taskmaster or whatever, and he wants to just keep his thumb on me. But you know, that's not God's heart. Scripture tells us God loves us, right? And so God is wanting to be able to shower this love and this ability for us to walk in freedom from all of these things that we end up getting stuck in. But see, what happens sometimes, we just, we can't move forward. right? We're just kind of in the same places. We're in the same kind of emotional, physical, spiritual places in our lives, and we just can't seem to overcome them. Well, there are some things. There's some things that we've been talking about. And so if you haven't listened to any of our messages before, then I just pray that you would listen to them. Get them on podcast. Or you can even go to our YouTube channel. But it's so key to understand that God wants you to live in freedom. Amen. He wants you to live in freedom. He doesn't want you to live stuck. He just doesn't. And so last week we talked about follow the instructions. Follow the instructions. What is God saying? What is God saying to you about this certain subject? See, there's definitely a rawness to coming to the Lord to say, what's going on in me? Right? Because we're really good at sometimes just pretending that we're open to God. Amen? Oh yeah, I'm so open to God. And then the Holy Spirit might show you something in Scripture, or somebody even might say something, and it's actually God speaking to you to tell you, hey, this is an area of your life that ain't that good. Oh, I'm good. No, but see, it takes a lot of humility to come before the Lord and just say, Lord, I'll say it for me. I'm a train wreck, right? I'm just a train wreck, Lord. What is it that you need to do in me in order to help me get on a pathway that is walking in unison and in fellowship with you? What are those things? And man, you know what? He's such a gracious and loving God. He's not the taskmaster. He's not going to get the whip out. He's not going to sit there and say, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. And you know, no, he's not going to do that. He's going to say, hey, I want to encourage you. Start working towards that. Start doing something with that. And so today, we're talking a little bit about that. Right? You're going to maybe even have some homework at the end of this. Yeah, I know. You're like, wait a minute, I don't go to school. But maybe we'll go to school today. All right? But okay, so our title for today is the truth and the lie. The truth and the lie. And as believers, right, you and I, we constantly are faced with decisions every single day to determine what we choose to believe. Every single day. We are constantly bombarded, right? Constantly with things that we have to choose. Is this good? Is this bad? Is this a lie or is this truth? And see, the thing is, right, if we haven't figured this out yet, the world is influenced by our enemy, right? Where his lies have been just have boldly and really unapologetically have constantly filled and constantly been woven into the fabric of our society. But see, it's going to take us as believers to be able to decipher what is a lie and what is truth. But see, you won't know what is the lie and what is the truth unless you get into his word. Unless you get there. Because what we have to understand is that when lies are brought, when lies are woven into our fabric, that is a strategic plan of the enemy to get our minds to be corrupt, to get our minds thinking in wrong ways by getting us to believe his lies over God's truth. For an example, I don't know if this has ever run into your head before. Maybe I am the only one. But God really doesn't love me that much. Man, I'm a mess up sometimes. I've faltered. I've done this. I have done that. And the enemy comes and goes, yeah, he doesn't love you that much. Does he really love you? You know, this is happening in your life right now. Does God really love you? Now, is that truth or is that a lie? That's a lie, right? But see, what happens is oftentimes we hear that in our head, and you know what we do? We just openly accept it. We just say, oh, yeah, that must be true because it's a thought that came in my head. But see, what we have to do is we have to put it up against God's word and be able to say, well, wait a minute, slow down. You know what I mean? And say, okay, what does the word say about me? What does the word say about my relationship with God? It says that God loved me, right? Even when I was a sinner, that he gave his son to die for me. What? Bible says, you know what? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. But see, we have a hard time believing that. Why? Because the enemy, it depends on who you're giving, whose voice you're receiving. See, we have a tendency to receive more of what the enemy says than what God says. We just do. And so one of the things before we get any further, I just want to establish this. Can we establish that God's word is infallible or perfect? Perfect truth. Can we establish that? Because if you can't grasp that, then you know what? This might just not really go anywhere today for you. But we have to understand that God's word is perfect truth for our lives. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, here we're going to find Paul. Okay, and Paul is revealing to us something that we have to understand, that this, what we are in, is a spiritual battle. Oftentimes we think, well, it's a physical battle. But no, really, it is a spiritual battle that we must take every thought captive. Did I say some thoughts? No, every thought captive. We need to take every lie captive, right? That comes against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? The truth of God's word. The truth of what God said. And then what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to bring it into alignment, right? We're supposed to bring our minds into the alignment of the obedience of God's truth. See, we're it's so amazing how things work. Because how many of you would walk into some kind of store and they play a song from 1960 or 1970 or 80 or 90 and that you really haven't heard in such a long time, but all of a sudden, man, you're just like, oh yeah, I'm getting my groove on, right? Right? And everyone's looking at you like, what's going on? But you remember that, right? You can recall that. See, and what we need to do is like kind of begin to understand that we have to recall God's word when the enemy comes to present something to us. When he comes to say, hey, guess what? This is going on. God's nowhere to be found. Oh, yeah. Right? Sometimes I think we just got to get a little bit like sassy with the devil. Right? Because if we believe God's word is true, and even Jesus used God's word, right? Can you imagine like thinking like Jesus was getting sassy with the devil when he was out in the wilderness? But you know what? He gave it right back to him. See, even the enemy knows scripture, but that the thing about it is that Jesus used scripture to combat, to bring the truth to the lie that the enemy was trying to say, trying to get into his head. And so we've got to bring it into alignment and obedience to the truth of what God's word says. Because the enemy, man, starts in our thinking. That's where he starts. He starts putting things inside of it. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's something. But it does not line up. I promise. Does not line up to what scripture says. It really doesn't, right? Scripture says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But how many people live in fear? Right? But listen, that takes training. right? You do any kind of, I don't know how many of you guys have ever played sports before or whatever, or maybe you work out or what. It just takes training because it doesn't come natural. I mean, I wish, you know, that everything just came so natural. It would be awesome. I would be totally buff right now if it came natural. I mean, I would be pumped because that's what I want. I want to be like, hey, what's up? But it doesn't come natural. I got to train. See, you notice I don't train with weights, obviously. But see, we got to train our mind, okay? And then be able to, with training, then be able to expose the lies when the enemy comes. Okay, let's get to the scripture. This is what it is. Verse 3, he says, this is Paul talking, for though we walk in the flesh, okay? So he's saying, even though we're human, how many are human here? How many have a tendency at times to walk in the flesh, right? Now, on our Wednesday night Bible study, we've been talking about the flesh versus the spirit, right? And how the flesh wants to act out and wants to do all kinds of crazy stuff and just kind of, you know, do its own thing. Well, Paul's saying, hey, man, we don't walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh, okay? So those, they don't war according to the human strategies and things like that. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Okay, so they're not natural human weapons. But mighty in God, they're energized with God's power for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, kind of like think prisoners of war, right? To the obedience of Christ. Now, you're thinking, okay, well, give me the context of this, Pastor Scott. What he's doing? Well, here's the context of Paul's writing in this, is that he was receiving some harsh opposition from enemy and from even false teachers about his authority, about all kinds of stuff that was going on. And so basically what he's doing right here as he's writing, he's kind of pushing back. You ever push back before when someone said something and you're like, hey, wait, right? Okay. Well, here he is. He's kind of pushing back and he's letting them know. He's calling it for what it is, that this is more than just, you know, a political struggle over authority. It's more than just a thing to undermine the gospel and what God was doing at the time. Instead, Paul sees it as a spiritual battle that has eternal consequences. Because what these guys were doing, they were trying to divide the church. They were trying to cause the church to be separated and all of those things. And so he sees it not so much like, hey, you know what, I'm going to come up. Like if Corey was like doing all kinds, I'm like, hey, come on, man, let's go. Right? Like we're going to rumble or get the WWE belt going on. Like I'm going to take him down. Although that's fixed, isn't it? Yeah, I think that's fixed. Okay, so I would be fixed. I'd win, right? Okay. Just want to make sure I got that right. But that's the thing, okay? So here he is, Paul is having to face this, but he sees it for what it is. It's not so much, hey, we're going to argue back and forth with words. No, this is a spiritual thing. This is something that the enemy has his hand in and is trying to create division, trying to create strife, actually trying to stunt the growth of the church. So he says that, hey, we're not going to walk in our flesh. Right? You might have things that are going on in your family, you know, arguments and disagreements and things or whatever. Man, you know, I would just say, don't walk according to the flesh. Walk according to the Spirit about it. What I mean by that is start praying. Holy Spirit, come. God, come. Jesus, come and begin to minister to their hearts. Begin to soften their hearts. Begin to speak to them. Where if I am wrong, show me, so that I can then make amends for what's going on. Because see, sometimes we just look at it from another person's view. Well, they need to be the one to kind of, you know, change their attitude. Well, maybe God's saying, no, man, you got to change your attitude. We don't like hearing that though, right? Amen? Right, we don't like hearing that. But see, that's the humility that we have to have when we come before the Lord to say, okay, hey, You know, there's two people here in this disagreement or argument or this wound, right? Maybe, man, I've been wounded by somebody. But you know what part did I play? Maybe I was the jerk first, and they just retaliated, but yet I'm taking it all on like, forget that. I'm so hurt. You know what I mean? Become the victim. Okay? So anyways, he said, hey, we're not going to wage war according to our flesh. And what I love about that is I really believe that Paul really recognized and was aware of kind of the weakness and the futility of his flesh. Our flesh isn't all that unless we just give it free rein. It really isn't. But because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have the ability and the power, right? And the authority to tell your flesh, shh, quiet, stop acting out. And then you just got to make decisions to move in that direction. So Paul knew that the greatest weapons, he wasn't going to rely on his mind, his talent, right? Anything that he could naturally come about, you know, trying to win a battle of words or whatever. But he recognized that, you know what? God has given each and every one of us who are believers spiritual weapons, right? That are not natural. But it takes discipline to use the spiritual weapons. It really does. Because, you know, we'll read them in a few moments here. But we look at them and go, oh, how cute. It's a little armor shield. There's a little helmet, right? You remember like back in Sunday school, right? How many remember that, right? You got it and you're like, oh, well, that's the armor of God. Awesome. But you know what? Sometimes we just categorize it like that. Man, it is so much more. It's so much more. So here Paul's like saying, hey, you know what? We're not going to walk on the flesh. We're going to use these spiritual weapons that God is giving to us. So what does that mean for us then? Right? What is Paul showing us? He's just showing us that when the enemy attacks, which he will, okay, he'll attack with people and the words that they say. You know that old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names never hurt me. Yeah, they can, right? More so than sticks and stones, right? I mean, how many have ever had that experience? I'm raising my hand. I've had that experience, right? Or he'll come and speak into your mind and, you know, kind of bring in some thoughts, some things that are just like, what? Why? But we begin to receive them. So we have to recognize this is more than a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle. One that is taking place in our mind, in our thought patterns. See, when we allow the enemy to come in and bring these lies, then you know what? We start having wrong thinking, okay? We start having wrong mindsets or unbiblical thought patterns. Maybe that's a good way to describe it. Where we start thinking a totally opposite direction of what God is actually saying, right? And this is just part of the blueprint of the enemy's plan to get those lies to take root, to take a place in our lives, so much so that they are taking up residency, right? That we're like actually believing them. Yeah, you know, God doesn't really care that much about me. Yeah, you should have seen what I did today on the way to church. You know, I don't think God really cares or he's mad at me or whatever. No, that's hogwash. Okay? Because he wants to get it inside of you so much so that you are actually stuck. And what I love is Paul just doesn't leave us hanging, right? But he encourages us. Hey, guys, let's be proactive. Let's be aggressive, right? And stand against the junk that the enemy is throwing at us. But see, oftentimes we don't. We just let it keep coming in. Oh, yeah, keep it coming. Keep it coming. But see, he says then to pull down strongholds, okay? Or the strong lies that you've allowed the enemy to come into your mind, okay? And we're supposed to take them captive. through the obedience of Christ. So it's just taking what the enemy has said, that lie, and saying no to it. Let me give you the antidote. God says, yada, 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 yada. Right? Bible says that God's word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll get down to the joints and marrow of who you are. See, but we've got to use that. Right? God just didn't go, I think what's really cool, we should just write a book. Jesus, what do you think? Should we write a book? Yeah. Holy Spirit, you think we should write a book? Yeah. Great idea, God. Angels, guess what? No, he wrote this manual out for us to be able to live on this earth as believers, as kingdom people. And one of the things I think we have to realize too is just the fact that, you know what? Our thought life is probably one of the most underrated aspects of our life. Because I think we're really good at letting our minds just kind of wander in the weeds. We just let it wander, just go where, and we're not even conscious or not even aware of what we're picking up, right? I mean, you could use music as an example. Some of the words, some of the lyrics, some of the things that are in there. You know, we might think, it's harmless. No, it's not. Because there are words that can get inside of you and they can take root if you give them place to. Right? Or you, it's maybe it's shows that we listen to, or maybe it's the radio or whatever it is. It can cause depression, anxiety, fear. I mean, just turn on the news these days. Everything's a negative. Everything's, oh my gosh. And so I can allow that to come in, and then it begins to take root in my heart. And then it comes from my heart to my mind. And then all of a sudden now I'm going, oh my gosh, I don't know if we're ever going to make it. Oh my gosh, it's so crazy. It's so this. See, that's where we have to stop and say, what's the truth? God said this. God said he would take care of us. God said that, you know what? He would make sure that we are protected. That he would go with us wherever we go. That we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in this anxiety. But see, sometimes we don't recognize that we are actually walking through the weeds way more than we're walking through the truth. Because the weeds are in the natural. God's word is a spiritual thing. And so we got to walk more in the spiritual. And I'm not saying, oh, I'm so holy and that, you know, all that. I'm not saying that. But we have to understand, if I'm allowing my mind to walk in the weeds, then you know what you're going to get out of you and in your life? Weeds. Plain and simple. Right? So you don't want to have a weed mind or become a weed man or a weed woman. You want to be able to have the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you. Right? How does that happen? God's word has to become so important to you that you're no longer just wandering in the weeds. You're like, I'm out of there. All right? Okay, but Pastor Scott, I really like this show. You know, the show is really good. And yeah, I know it might be a little weedy at times, but hey, that's between you and God. I'm not going to tell you, hey, you can't. That's between you and him. Let him talk to you about it. But see, we've got to be able to be humble before the Lord, be receptive before the Lord, to allow him to speak to us. And when he does, then we just got to be obedient and say, gosh, that makes perfect sense. Yes, I'm going to not do that anymore. And even if it's not major, it could be something so very simple. Just a simple tweak. That's all the Lord's asking. And when you do that, man, you're out of part of that weed. And now you're producing, you know, fruit in your life. And so we have to understand, you know what? Sometimes with all of this, it shapes the future of our life, all right? And let me just say this too. Someone once said this, you are not what you eat, you are what you think. You are not what you eat. Praise God for that. I've had my share of McDonald's, okay? But you are what you think, right? Because it plays out. If everything you think and everything you say plays out. It's a spiritual thing, right? It's how you sow what you reap. If you continue to sow in the weeds, and you continue to allow all of these lies and stuff to take over your mind, then you know what? You're just going to reap it. It's a principle. So we want to get out of being stuck, right? Okay, so let's get to our first point today. Man, I'm so sorry. We're doing good though. All right, first point. You must recognize that your battle is not spiritual. A battle is spiritual, not natural. All right? You must recognize. So all we're saying is this, and I kind of already covered it a little bit, but the fact is just recognize that, you know, when you're up against something, it's not just natural. Even when you're dealing with somebody in a harsh way or the encounter is harsh, sometimes it's a spiritual thing that we have to look at it from that perspective instead of just saying, oh, yeah, you know, and you're fists start kind of clenching up, or your mouth starts going, oh man, I'm ready to go. I'm fired up, right? Sometimes we have to stop and realize, man, I don't know what's going on in their life. You might have something going on in your life right now, and it's coming out at me when I really haven't done anything wrong. I'm not, you know what I'm talking about, not me directly, but, you know, when it's like, you know what? No, man, I need to, like, deal with this, handle this spiritually. I need to pray for this person. And so Paul says, you know what? We do not wage war according to the flesh. And that word not is like kind of the strongest way to say, hey, whatever's coming, you're not doing in the Greek. It's like, yeah, don't even think about it. That is not something we do as believers. So he's saying, hey, you know what? He's not waging war. He's waging war against the lies, against the half-truths, against those things that are obvious errors that oppose God's truth and his heart. But it's a spiritual fight. This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And it kind of comes along and supports this. He says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. This is what the Passion Translation says. It says, your hand-to-hand combat is not against human beings. Let that one sink in, right? Next time you have a family squabble or something going on, your hand-to-hand combat is not against human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. So you got to remember that, you know what? All of this that's going on, all of these lies, the things that don't line up to God's word, is all influenced by an enemy. It really is. See, we take it lightly sometimes, but it really is one of those things where it is involved, that the enemy is highly involved in this thing. But here's the thing. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be concerned or worried, because you know why? We already have victory. We already have victory over it, over them. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for us. If we are a believer, he has given us the authority, right? But we have to exercise it. See, oftentimes we don't exercise any spiritual muscles. We just think it's supposed to come naturally, right? That Jesus is kind of the genie in the bottle. Well, if I come to church this day, I think he's going to show up and do something for me, right? Or that he's helicopter Jesus and he's going to swoop right in and save the day and then swoop right back out. Uh-uh. He'll show up. But see, we can't approach him with that kind of lackadaisicalness. We actually have to be Discipline. And see, what we think is sometimes, well, we're going to fight these people. We're going to fight the wrong. We're going to fight my spouse. I'm going to fight, you know, these people or my friends or my boss or whatever it is. I'm going to do all this. And man, we're just missing the whole thing. We've got to fight from a spiritual stance. So we want to get beyond being stuck. So if we're stuck in the natural when it comes to stuff that's going on, or whether the open wounds or the scars, we got to get beyond that and begin to realize and recognize, no, I am fighting a spiritual battle, not a natural battle. And when I fight a spiritual battle, then I've got to understand that I've got to use the weapons that have been given to me. Because every single one of you have been given weapons. That's point number two. You must begin to use your God-given spiritual weapons. You must begin to use your God-given spiritual weapons. Each and every one of us have spiritual weapons. If you are a believer, if you have faith in Christ, and you have been redeemed by his blood, then you know what? You have spiritual weapons, and it's high time that you use them. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, right? They are energized by his divine power. So he's given us these spiritual weapons to fight against the lies of the enemy. And again, I cannot tell you enough. They are yours. Every single one of us has the ability to use these weapons, right? I love the scripture that talks about that God is no respecter of persons. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. If he'll do it for the Apostle Paul, he'll do it for you. If he'll do it for Peter, he'll do it for you. If he'll do it for Billy Graham, he'll do it for you. Right? He doesn't look and go, well, you know, Pastor Scott, way back when he was in junior high, he went and he did something he shouldn't have done. So, no, not going to answer his prayer. No, not going to. No, that's not a thing. Anyways, let's go. Here are the weapons. And you've all heard it. We all kind of mentioned it already a little bit. It says, stand therefore. I love that. Stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth. What is the truth? God's written word. And here's the thing about that belt of truth, okay? The belt of truth, or the Roman army, they had a belt. And that belt was something that held all the pieces together in their uniform when they were going to battle. If they didn't have the belt, man, those things did not do or function the way they were supposed to function. See, that shows you the importance. When it's the first thing in alignment, the first thing that God says is important, is your spiritual weapon, is the Word of God. We got to have the Word of God in our heart. We got to have the Word of God in us. So it says, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? It's just knowing that, you know what? You are right and approved in God's sight if you have given your life to Christ. If you've given your life, hey, man, I am approved in God's sight. So we're supposed to take that into battle. Then it says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, now the gospel of peace will hold you in place and protect you and defend you against the attack of the enemy. Back then, the Roman soldiers, they had these shoes and they had big spikes on the end of them, so that when they were in battle, they couldn't be moved that easy. They were locked in. You know, and then they walk locked in. So whatever came at them, they were pretty much locked in. See, sometimes we got to understand that I have the gospel of peace no matter what I'm going through, right? I get this diagnosis about 2 months ago, and man, you would all of a sudden think, man, oh, I should be fearful. I'm not. I'm not at all. Why? Because part of what I have, it's the gospel of peace. I have the shoes on. I don't, man, you know what? The doctors can say all they want to say. I walk out of there and every time, like, Lord, I know they're doctors. I know you've given them to me, but you know what? I am going to believe the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord says, you know what? By his stripes, I'm healed. So I walk in that. But see, the enemy comes, Are you sure? Really? Come on, Pastor Scott. We all know who you are. Right? I mean, just those are the things that happen. You know, you're the guy that gets mad at people because they don't drive fast enough in the freeway. We know that. Why would God didn't want to do that for you? But see, that's how the enemy works. He brings it in. Then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. That word above all means it's out in front. Your shield of faith is out in front, which you are able to quench the fiery darts or attacks or words of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation. We'll get into that in a minute. And the sword of the Spirit, right? The sword of the Spirit is his spoken word out of our mouth, right? Scripture says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whatever you choose to let it come, that's what you're going to eat. You're going to eat the fruit of that. It says, which is the word of God. Then verse 18, some people don't throw this into that. But it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Some people call that the lance. Right? That's another part of the weapon. What it is? Praying. Right? Praying all kinds of ways. Asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how do I pray? How do I do this? How do I come against what the enemy is trying to do? So let's get back to the helmet of salvation, because this is key for our point. So Paul, again, is relating this to a Roman soldier's outfit. And the helmet used to be like one of those things that were really fancy looking. And, you know, they would put it on. But see, a helmet, right, was essential for a Roman soldier, because if they didn't have their helmet on, they could lose their head. You're like, what? Well, see, their enemy had what was called a short kind of handled axe called a battle axe. Not battle axe, you know, like old people or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Battle axe. And when battle axe were used, heads would roll. Right? So if he didn't have his helmet on when he went out to fight, he could absolutely be sure. Now, what's going to happen is that the enemy is going to come and he is going to hit me over the head with it. He is going to pounce on me and he is going to hit me over the head with this short little device. So the helmet was not just a beautiful thing, but it was a defensive weapon, because the enemy would come and the enemy would hit. If there was no helmet, or even if there was a helmet, the enemy would hit and pound and try to knock that helmet off. Again, what is it called? The helmet of what? Man, have you ever had the enemy come and try to tell you ain't saved? Right? I mean, okay, you said the sinner's prayer. But look, sometimes you jack up. You mess up. Yeah? So I guess I'm not really saved. But here's the deal. If you've committed to the Lord, and yes, you will make mistakes, but if you turn around and you give your heart back to him and say, hey, Lord, I messed up, I sinned, I repent of it now, I turn my life back to you, then you know what? He says, man, forgiven. Right? Forgiven. But see, the enemy wants to kind of keep coming at it. And right? So this spiritual weapon, the helmet of salvation, kind of does the same thing when we wear it. Right? Because the enemy will come and he will try to hack away. He will try to hack away at your foundation, telling you, man, you're insignificant. God doesn't love you. Man, all that works for someone else. It does not work for you. Right? Healing doesn't work. Deliverance doesn't work. Soundness of mind doesn't work. Forget about it. It's not part of anything Jesus did. But that is a lie. But see, that's how he works. That's how he works. Unless he only does that to me, which I highly doubt, but maybe he does. I don't know. So we have to develop our helmets. We have to develop our helmets. See, one of the key things about those helmets, they had to fit snugly on their head. They weren't loose and, you know, wobbly or whatever. You know, it's not like, you know, a small kid putting on a helmet, like a baseball helmet that's really big and it's just kind of dripping down and all over the place and they can kind of spin it around and whatever. See, That's what the enemy would love, because it'd fall right off of us because we don't have enough of what the salvation package is all about. But see, what we have to do is we have to work and we have to develop and we have to continue to grow and train ourselves to start thinking the way God thinks about us, so that, you know what? We fit the helmet of salvation snugly. So when the enemy does come, hey, you ain't rocking my foundation, bro. You are not going to rock my foundation. I know my foundation. I know what the package of salvation means. I know what God has for me. I know what God says about me. I absolutely 100% know. But see, we have to do the work. Say, do the work. Right? We've got to do the work. We've got to grow in this. And so we got to get to the point where, man, God's word is so ingrained in our mind that it protects us from any attack of the enemy. So hopefully you're seeing this as a spiritual weapon. And the very last one is you must pull down strongholds and establish truce. Ephesians chapter 10, 4 and 5 again says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, that's all the enemy does. He brings in arguments. He brings every high thing he can to try to get you all messed up in your head. But see, we're supposed to cast them down. Because they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so when we're fully clothed with all of our spiritual weapons, not just one of them, but all of them, God gives us the power to pull down strongholds, ones that have developed and taken residency in our mind. Now, here's what a stronghold is. It describes a fortress or a castle. It pictures a stronghold with walls fortified to keep outsiders on the outside. Okay? But here's another picture. It pictures a dreadful prison constructed deep inside a fortress that was intended to prevent a hostage or prisoner from escaping. A stronghold was a place of captivity or confinement, a place of detention, imprisonment, or incarceration. Right? So in a spiritual sense, a stronghold is any lie that traps, confines you, imprisons you behind imaginary bars where you can't break free. Now, I'm taking you a little bit to old school real quick. You're like, what? Legos or Duplos? Yes. Going back a little children's ministry. See, I'm going to use this as an example. But every time we believe a lie, we establish a wall, a stronghold in our mind. Every time we believe a lie, every time we allow the enemy to get in there and begin to kind of mess with our mind, God doesn't really love me, right? God will never answer my prayers. He answers his, but don't answer mine. Yep. Man, I kind of believe that. In comes another wall. Remember, we want to take the picture of the being, you know, held captive. So another wall gets built. Then you know what, man? We might say, "Oh well, I'll never, ever, ever, you know, understand God's word. I'm just not smart enough. There's something wrong with me." Boom. Another wall to that stronghold. Right? Oh, wait, I forgot to get this person out. That's you and me, right? Although we don't have, like, I don't know what that is. But we got a cell phone. And we got sunglasses, right? But put ourselves right there in the middle, right? And then, you know what? The enemy comes and says, oh, well, here's another lie. Oh, yeah, come on. Yeah, I believe that. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then all of a sudden, we start building these strongholds in our life where it just keeps adding and adding, oh, yep, that's me. Yeah, I'm not worthy of what God wants to do. Oh, God doesn't want to use me. I'm just, you know, this, that, or whatever. I'll never make it forward in life. I'm always going to be stuck. All these things just start building and building. Can you see the person anymore? No. And you know what? It gets so bad that even when you hear truth, you can't recognize it. Because you got a stronghold in your life. You've got areas in your life that you have totally believed that the enemy has said, you know what? You should live in fear. I don't know if this is too close or whatever, but you know, COVID. For the long run, man, you need to live in fear. You're going to get the, and I'm not discounting that people had passed away. I'm not discounting that. But we got to a point where we were so fearful. Even to this point, this day. Or it's some other thing that, you know what? Oh my God, I'm then all of a sudden anxiety happens. I can't be around people. I just don't want to be around people. Or man, you know what? The fact that that person didn't say something to me when I saw them, God, they must not like me. I must not be very, very likable or whatever. And the enemy all along is going, yeah, keep believing that. Keep believing it. Keep believing it so that when you hear truth that God loves you, you're not, man, no, you got the stronghold in there. Yeah, I hear you, but you know what? I'm walking out and thinking, man, you know what? God does not really love me. God is, where is God? I don't even know where God is. When God said, hey, I'm with you all of the time, right? And although sometimes, you know, it's that old, what's that poem or whatever, the, you know, the steps in the sand, right? We think, man, he's nowhere to be found. Right? Because we've built this thing that says, you know what? I'm not worthy enough for God to intervene in my life. So we've got these strongholds. Well, the thing is what happened then is Paul says this, you got to start tearing them down, pulling them down. Well, how, right? Well, here's the deal. Part of these stronghold things is that you have to do it piece by piece sometimes. And all it is you got to begin to take God's word, what God says about whatever it is you're freaked out about or whatever it is that you're having a struggle with that has built these walls around you, and begin to take God's word and begin to use it. Right? Write it down on a note card. Write it down somewhere where you'll see it, but begin to use it. So when insecurity comes up, man, I've had so many things in my life that has built some strongholds of insecurity in my life. One of the examples, I've told some of you this already. When I was in first grade, I had a teacher tell me, you are a lousy reader. You will never be a good reader. I believed that as a first grader. And as I went through second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, on through, even into Bible college, man, I was trapped. So I would somehow figure out a way. I wouldn't read that much, right? Oh, well, I'll just get it this way, or I'll get it that way, or I'll figure it out because I'm a lousy reader. I believed that lie. And then what happened was in second grade, I got held back. My mom held me back. Praise God that she did. But you know what? The kids that I was supposed to advance with? Flunky. You're a flunky. Yeah, you're a flunky. You don't think that, man, the enemy was pounding me with that? So what I did is I received it. Yeah, I guess I'm just a flunky. I'm not really that good. I'm not really that smart. Oh, my sister is the brains of the family. So I'm not really that. But see, we have to understand all of those things that keep coming at us are all strategies and tactics of the enemy to get our thoughts out of alignment with what God's word says. So when we start taking God's word, you know what happens? And here's the deal. It's not like all of a sudden you're just going to go and knock them off. Now, God could do that. But you know what? Part of pulling down strongholds sometimes is by piece. To the fact that, hey, you know what? Maybe this was the stronghold of insecurity in my life. Lord, I don't need to be insecure. I got you. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I don't care if you don't like me. I can do what God says I could do. Well, yeah, you're not a great speaker, Pastor Scott. Okay, but this is what God told me to do, right? So, man, we break that down. And then maybe it's fear of something. I don't know. But we start looking for scriptures. What does it talk about not being in fear? God keeps those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on them. Whoa! I mean, even if that's the only tool you use, the only arrow, the only sword that you use, begin to speak it out. And just keep telling it over and over and over again. And I'm just telling you, again, God's word is spirit. It's life. It has the ability to tear down those strongholds in our life. Whatever, another thing. And so to the point where all of a sudden, you know what? Man, you're not so... What that the goal is just to get rid of all of them. Every piece, brick by brick. And it might take some time. It takes some discipline. It's not natural. It's not natural for us to want to get in God's word. It's just not. Because you know what? Our flesh is like, no, I got other things to do. I got other things I want. This sometimes rubs me the wrong way. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, those sponges. It's got the rough side on it. Sometimes when you read God's word, man, you get the scratchy part. And it's trying to scratch some things. It's trying to get you to be clean. But the idea is, you know what? We need what God's word says about us. And then we need to begin to put that inside of us in order for us to just begin to tear down these strongholds, these belief systems, these lies that the enemy has given to us. And it's quite simply just taking God's word and begin to meditate on that, to think about that. Now, you know, that's a whole nother thing. And next week, Corey's going to come and deliver a word to us about that whole renewing of our mind. It's essential. It's key. Because we can't allow the lies of the enemy to take residency in our lives. And so I want to give you homework as we end. Okay? Your homework is just ask the Holy Spirit to help identify those areas that you have believed a lie in your life. I don't know what they are. I got my own issues. I got my own things that the enemy that I believed a lie. And I'm still working on it. I'm still chipping away. I'm still trying to pull down strongholds. I'm still trying to take it piece by piece by piece by piece. So I'm not perfect. Sorry to blow that bubble or pop that balloon. Some of you are laughing like, yeah, we already knew that. But ask the Holy Spirit to help you identify the lies that you've believed. And then take your spiritual weapons. Take the spiritual weapons in Ephesians chapter 6 and begin to pull down those lies. Say, you know what? No longer. No longer am I going to be insecure. No longer am I going to be fearful. No longer am I going to have anxiety. No longer am I going to be depressed. Because God's word says this. And like I said, if you only have one scripture for it, use it. Use it till it is just coming out of you like, you know, a song that you've heard from 1968. Where it says, boom. The minute the lie comes, you're boom. Oh, yeah. This is what God says about me. This is what his truth says about me. See, that's going to stop the stronghold from building, but it's also going to help tear down any of those strongholds. So that's your homework. It's between you and him. I can't make you. I'm not going to give you an A, a B, a C, a D, or anything like that. It's between you and him. But I hope today was just gives you an understanding of how important this is. Because see, God wants you unstuck. But when we allow strongholds to come in, when we allow those lies of the enemy to come in, we get stuck. And we're sitting there going, why am I not progressing in my relationship with God? Why do I see other people progressing in their relationship? Well, it's because maybe you've got some strongholds in your life that you have believed and he has caused you to be stuck. And see, the Lord wants you free. He wants you free from all that. So bow your heads real quick. I'm going to pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. Because we know it's in you that we live and breathe and have our being. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in each one of us. And Lord, Holy Spirit, as we venture off from this message, from church today, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to speak to us and give us deeper understanding of what a lie is compared to the truth, of what the enemy is trying to do in our lives over what God wants to do in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that there would be a supernatural grace in their ability to hear your voice speak truth, your voice showing them and then getting them to understand that they have the power and they have the authority, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, to tear down those strongholds, to tear down those lies that the enemy has built up in our lives. Because Lord, you see us as worthy of your love. You see us worthy of your grace. You see us worthy of your mercy. You see us worthy because of the blood of Jesus that covers us. And so we thank you. We thank you for all that you are doing inside of us. We love you for it in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.